Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action against Sunderland at Old Trafford. A massive game, but every game is massive. The team news is out. There have been a few changes. Interesting, no Cunha. I mentioned last week for me, Cunha and Bruno Fernandes just doesn't work in the same team. They like to run into the same positions, but he didn't start. But if you need an answer to a question, well, I'm still trying to work out what the actual answer is. If the answer is Mason Mount. Mason Mount does start. He starts probably in place of Cunha. Well, actually, no, not probably. He is in place of Cunha. I was a bit concerned when I was hearing the team news being read out that Sesko might not be playing, but he is starting Sesko. He needs to play. He needs to play every single game. We need someone who could actually play as a striker and score goals. He's off the mark after his goal at Brentford. Let's see if we can get another one today. So the team as follows. Lammens comes in as the goalkeeper. United still need another goalkeeper, by the way. The goalkeeper situation is an absolute disgrace. And people like Jason Wilcox and Boada have to take responsibility for that. It's obvious in January it was needed, but they thought, nah, we won't bother. As I say, Jason Wilcox, he is not a competent number one sporting director, because he wasn't bought to be a sporting director at this stage of his career. And he's been caught out in this situation. But Lammens in goal. Back three, it's Yoro comes back in, and then it's De Ligt and Luke Shaw. Dalot and Ahmad are the wing backs. I mean, again, this is one of those things where you look at it and you think to yourself, certain players who always seem to play. As I say, Amorim, fortunately, getting into the thing of playing your favourites. I mean, you could even argue it's the same in midfield with Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro coming back in. I mean, Casemiro, ridiculously getting sent off against Chelsea. Yes, you can say it's unlucky, but it's a ridiculous challenge from a Spurs player, but he comes straight back in. Say up front, it's Mbeumo, Mason Mount and Benjamin Sesko. To be perfectly honest, we're at home to a promoted side. And this promoted side, who are 4 points ahead of us, people are thinking nobody would be surprised if Manchester United lost this game. It's an embarrassment that people are even thinking that. The fact that Sunderland think they can come to Old Trafford and that, you know, they should be confident of getting something, because this Manchester United outfit is an absolute shambles. As I say, watching that Brentford game, even though the decision not to send Nathan Collins off, there will be karma, Nathan, there will be karma. Thankfully, and I mean, I was looking through the appointments. I don't think Andy Madley is involved this week, as far as I'm aware. I just took a sort of a quick look. I mean, and I still haven't heard the official apology for the PGMOL for one of the an absolutely disgusting VAR decision last week, which was ridiculous and awful, and there were no excuses. And it does make, as I say, Andy Madley, well done against Arsenal in the cup. You were gutted. United went through a penalties. Maybe that was your payback. Shocking decision. But say that wasn't necessarily the reason, you know, you put the penalty in, that wasn't necessarily the reason United lost the game. The performance from United was awful. The performances from United this season have been average at best. Performances from certain players. As I say, Dalot comes back in and he's awful, but he gets to start today. As I say, I do feel sorry for Dorgu. People can hammer Dorgu and say he's not good enough, but he's a 20, 21-year-old that's been thrown in at Old Trafford, and people expect him to perform. How long has Dalot been at this football club? And he gets excused by people. It's just a joke, really. As I say, certain players, certain favours. And those players, there's a few on there that definitely want this manager out of a job. Will they turn up and perform today? As I say, we're at home against a newly promoted side. Like against Burnley. But against Burnley should have been 2 or 3, maybe even 4 by half time, and took a last minute penalty. This Manchester United side, we have no idea how they're going to turn. They could turn up today, perform well, win 2 or 3-0. Actually, I want 4-0 if they get there, so we can actually get our goal difference back to 0. But we'll see how they perform. The manager is under pressure. Reports that if he loses against Sunderland, he'll get sacked. I mean, it's ridiculous, the fact that it takes, whenever you're making decisions on one match, the hierarchy need to have made a decision one way or the other. We either want this guy or we don't want this guy. It's as simple as that. you could, you know, he's nearly played 30 games in the Premier League, and it's relegation form that they've been in. But there are other bigger issues, as I say. The bigger issues at this football club are the people above, the players, ahead of the manager. You can question the manager, question his system, but the issues on the issues with this team relate to how the club is run, the atmosphere at the club, and these players basically not caring because they can get a manager the sack. As I say, watch back that West Ham game when Erik ten Hag was sacked. And just remember, Surratt doesn't make the decision, apparently. Surratt is a liar and a clueless football. Well, I'd like to say a four-letter word beginning with C, but I'll say a pregnant fish instead. Because I can, I don't want to get too heavy on the language. But anyway, I will be back probably post-match. I'll be listening to the game today, and I'll sort of get back and watch some lengthy highlights to catch the game. What's going to happen at Old Trafford? We'll see. The weather in Manchester is awful. So these weak mentality players, we'll use that as an excuse as well if things don't go well. But anyway, I will be back, as I say, post-match with my thoughts. All over Old Trafford, it's finished. Manchester United 2, Sunderland 0. What in the end ended up as a routine victory. There were still the same old issues that you noticed in the game. Dominating, not taking opportunities, allowing Sunderland back in, nearly giving Sunderland way back in ridiculously. Although, to be fair, this isn't a Casemiro situation. This is just, I mean, is it cheating from you? Not necessarily cheating because he was knocked on his side, but holding his head, that is clear cheating. And he probably should have been booked for that. But because unless you get hit on the hip and then apparently hit your head, like, it's the Carlo Tizzano in the Lions, those in the know will know. Taking a dive, and he knows he did, and so do all the so-called Australian analysts who say, oh no, but you never know how it is when you play. Sometimes you get a touch somewhere and you get injured. Rubbish. And you fall over holding your head. Rubbish. He dived and it failed, and the Lions won the series. They should have won 3-0, but in 2 anyway. On a tangent, but 2 first half goals from United, and I spoke about Mason Mount previously. What is the question if the answer is Mason Mount? Well, the question is, who's going to score the first goal against Sunderland? The answer is Mason Mount. Nice ball in from Brian Mbeumo. Good control of his left foot, and a lovely little side-footed finish into the net. It's a better finish. I mean, you look at it sort of at the camera angle, you think the keeper should be saving it, but no, if you side angle, you see he's basically just pushed in with the power. The keeper could see the keeper sort of wasn't set, basically, so it was an excellent finish. I mean, Sunderland could have taken the lead in the first couple of minutes. I think it would have been offside, I think, but Bertrand Traore, just a complete miss it for 3 yards. Luke Shaw and Dallow, the people who are making the mistakes there in regards of just not being on the ball in the penalty area, which is a standard thing for Man United, and happened to get in the second half. I think really nobody got hold of the ball. But United then sort of pretty much controlled the game from that moment. As I say, Mason Mount got his goal. There were other opportunities, Ahmad and Bruma had shots. That the Sunderland goalkeeper, Rolfs made good saves from pretty routine saves, but good saves, at least pushing them away from goal, unlike a certain other goalkeeper, Zanana. apparently he's doing brilliantly at Trabzonspor. Please do brilliantly there, and please Trabzonspor, hand us over at least £20 million for him, or whatever we need for the PSR cut off. So it's good saves for Rolfs, and then an absolutely outstanding save he made from Bruno Fernandes. Lovely tips over. I mean, Ahmad should have buried the rebound. I don't know. I think he got, I mean, being generous to Ahmad, he was maybe trying to put it across the goal for Mason Mount, who would have had a tap in, but that should have really been the second goal. But the second goal did come from a long throw. Sesko, good movement in the box. It was striker's instinct, and it was just a simple finish into the back of the net to give United a 2-goal lead, and essentially be in complete control of the game. They tried their best to give it away. A high foot from Sesko, but as I say, he nudged on the hip area of Hume, who basically held his head. The right decision was made by VAR this time. Clearly, Andy Madley wasn't in the VAR box this time. Absolute shambles of a man. Don't want anywhere near any of our games. I don't know if Michael Owen's ever even refereed or been in VAR for any of United's games since the West Ham debacle last season. Shambolic. So it was 2-0 at half-time. Into the second half. And it was more from United, really, just trying to control the game to stop Sunderland pushing on to get a goal. I mean, United really, attacking wise, they weren't that as many opportunities. Similarly to the Burnley game, where United should have been 2-3 or 4-0 up at half time and game over at 2-0. You know this United side, they're so weak mentally. It's unbelievable. If Sunderland got the next goal, and they did have a couple of opportunities. There was one with a long ball, went over Fernandes. Was all over the place. Lahmans ran out and Traore sort of went through. The referee actually booked Traore, which I don't think was the right decision. I'm not necessarily sure if it was a foul or not, but you know, on another day, if a ref gives that and sends off, I mean, he could have sent off the keeper, he could have sent off Bruno Fernandes or one of them, but it's those little things, those little basic things, just a long speculative ball from Sunderland and United in trouble. No control. And as I say, Bruno Fernandes, he did misjudge. I mean, people say it was the wind. It was a horrible day. But these are professional footballers. And Traore, with his pace, got onto that ball. And thankfully, the decision went Manchester United's way. As I say, this is a Man United side at home to a newly promoted side. And this newly promoted side is still above Manchester United in the table, by the way. This is how poor and shocking Manchester United have been and how the standards at this football club are through the floor. And they've been through the floor for ages. It's basically an absolute embarrassment. But people will say, well, we won today, so everything's fine. Everything is not fine. Because as I say, if we lost today, the manager's probably out. But why does it take? Why is it one match? If you get down to one match, it shows you are an absolutely incompetent football club because you should already know what you're doing in that regard. There were a couple of opportunities with crosses that came in from the flanks, but Sunderland players couldn't get on the end of them. And then towards the end of the game, Lahmans made a save. I mean, say Luke Shaw still playing matches. He was massively done by Mayenda. United completely compromised. The ball came out to Sunderland's left side. I think it was Tybee who had a shot, and Lahmans made the save. And obviously, everybody's cheered and everyone's happy. United saw the game out 2-0, a clean sheet. Lahmans' first start for Manchester United, and he gets clean sheet playing Sunderland, just been promoted from the Championship. You know, you want to win matches. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. You want to win games. We'll actually see how Lahmans get on when we play Liverpool, when Liverpool having shot after shot after shot after shot after shot. You know, to be honest, that won't be Lahmans' fault. It'll be the fact that we don't hold the ball further up front. Our midfield gets completely overrun. I mean, people say the midfield did well today, because we won, but I'm not sold on that. We're, you know, Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro for me is not the way to go forward personally. I think Casemiro's leaving in the summer, so and he can't always be trusted. He even got booked today against the Sunderland side. I mean, even Granit Xhaka wasn't putting it all about like he usually does. United, I mean, I wouldn't say control the midfield, but what they did is that they were solid. And basically, Sunderland, they made sure that Sunderland didn't get within arm's length, sort of, especially in the first half, less so in the second half. And obviously, they saw the game out. But as they say, if Sunderland had got a goal, we know exactly, well, we don't know exactly what would have happened, but we know that this Manchester United is so weak mentally and they don't have any lack of leadership. Things could have easily collapsed. And, you know, as I say, Lahmans made that save right at the end, which would have made a sticky stoppage time period. And, you know, fair play to Lahmans. He's come in, he's kept a clean sheet. That's got to continue. I think defensively, United were pretty good, apart from Luke Shaw. I mean, Dallow again, as I say. He should either play on the right or not. I mean, we saw on the right-hand side with Ahmad today how much better United are, at least going forward. I don't understand why Dallow is getting starts. After that performance against Brentford, this is the thing. You perform poorly at Man United, certain players always seem to play. And I think that's been an issue for some of the time. And as I say, Yoro coming back in, which is interesting, seeing that he was dropped for two matches after the Manchester City game, which, and he was dropped. It wasn't about resting. United aren't resting players when they only have one game a week. Cunha was dropped this week, you know. Although it may be seen as maybe we'll stick Mason Mount in and see what we can do. And, you know, it worked out. And it's a case of, I think, there are good options going up front, and we need to continue to play Sesko through the middle so at least to get some opportunities. So a good result for United, they've won the match. Stay of execution for the manager. But again, we'll just come to the next inch of the bracket. I said this after the first round of games, but after we beat Burnley. I bet you when we get to the next set of international break, we're probably looking at the same thing. The manager under pressure, they're having to win a game against a newly promoted side, the last match before the next game. The last game before the next international break is Spurs away. I think it's Spurs away. So that should be interesting. I wonder if he'll need to win that game to save his job. But as I say, it just goes to show the shambolic nature of Manchester United as a football club and what an embarrassment they are. And that football, seriously, still is not a priority. I think the manager's trying to make it a priority. He is under pressure. Always a lot of talk about the system. Did the system work today? People will say, oh, look, it did. But then next week it won't be, and then it'll all be his fault. And then Michael Richards will say they need to play 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. Because he really knows what he's talking about. As I say, his mates play footballers and their friends who play in football teams. They always think they know best. But they don't necessarily do. So, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk. Up as various podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Pcast. What's the other one? Podchaser. Yeah, search MUFC Global and it will come up. So next up, it's Liverpool away, a trip to Anfield. They got an excellent 2-2 draw. They should have actually won the game if Harry Maguire could actually he should have at least hit the target, although the blame is on Xerxes for a poor ball because Xerxes is not English and Harry Maguire is. Imagine if it had been the other way. I can tell you now, they wouldn't have been saying that was a bad ball from Harry Maguire. I can tell you that now because that's how the media rocks and rolls in this country. I mean, I still listen to the podcast of the local newspaper here and they're still talking about Harry Maguire should be starting games for Manchester. Harry Maguire sharing a position with De Ligt in that central area. De Ligt has to start. De Ligt has been good this season. He's been United's best defensive player anyway this season. I think Yoro's done well. He just had a bad game against Manchester City, but who else didn't have a bad game? City just tactically outdid Manchester United. And then, as I say, still not a lot of talk about what Sean Maguire were doing under zero pressure. But anyway, depends what nationality you are, doesn't it? But whether it gets big shouts or not. But anyway, I'll be back after the international break. Liverpool away. I'll be interested to see what happens. If United get hammered, is it hammer them out again? But remember, obviously, United are skinflints and don't want to sack the manager before a year because it will cost them more money. Do not be surprised in the slightest if we get to a point where they sack him the day after he's done a year, which is, I think, about 3 or 4 days after the next international break after the Spurs match. Liverpool away, Brighton at home, Forest away, Spurs away. 4 matches last season, United. Well, 3 matches they lost. The only match they won last season was at Anfield. But it's £12 million apparently they have to pay him off. But apparently it's less if they wait. And this is the kind of absolute shambolic running of this football club that is. They will do what's best for them financially ahead of what's best for them for the football club. If they think that this manager should be sat now, they should have done it. So why do the next 4 games matter? This is the point. It's an absolute shambles. And as I say, I'll go on and on and on about this. The sacking of Erik ten Hag, which apparently wasn't Servat, it was Servat, after the players down tools in that match. As I say, you watch that game alongside the Liverpool game that they played West Ham a couple of weeks after that. It's exactly the same. Now, I'm not saying United are as good as Liverpool, I say. I'm just saying United performed as well as Liverpool did, but Liverpool took their opportunities. United didn't, and the players, yeah. You see what they... is see what they want to do, when they want to do it. But again, it's never their fault. And then they'll come out and say, oh, you know, we're, you know, it's our fault. It's not the manager's fault. Rubbish. I mean, I've not listened to it, but Mason Mount's done a Match of the Day interview saying we back the manager. I don't care what you say, Mason. I don't care anybody. Do it on the pitch and shut up. Because if you do it on the pitch, that's all the proof you need. Not PR. And as I say, Sharkova, Match of the Day, getting the getting good old English player on there, because that's the way it is. As I say, people will talk about Mason Mount and we'll talk about how lucky he's been with injuries. Just do your job, mate. Just do your job. You did your job today. You know what? You've got to do it every match. Although, let's be honest, he doesn't play 90-minute games anymore and we're still paying him £250,000 a week. It's ridiculous because of his injury record. It's utterly ridiculous and utterly shambolic. Even though we won today, the problems are so clear and obvious for everybody to see. But, you know, as I say, Ed Woodward knew what he was doing at the beginning. So did John Murta, so did Richard Arnold. Football idiots running this football club. And whilst at the moment there's far less football idiots, the biggest problem, even though he is putting money in there, but is he putting money in there just to have his name out there? Because you're having your name sort of linked with Man United. It's not always a good thing, but Sir Rat, ex, lifelong fan of this football club. Sorry, he's not, by the way. But anyway, I'll stop rambling at this point. It's the international break. 10 points, mid-table. That's pretty much what Manchester United are. But the funny thing is, with 6 points from the top of the table, 6 points from relegation, that is Manchester United. It's a very tight league. So, you know, if you get a few wins, that's why the Brentford result was so irritating last week. Performance was shocking, but Andy Madley, you did your job. You done well. As I say, come on, Nathan Collins. I cannot wait. But anyway, as always, thanks for listening. And we'll be back after the international break. Liverpool away. Oh, joy. Anfield.